Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 it's Monty, and welcome to the Rockcast. You know, the other day I was talking to somebody about my podcast, and they said, well, how big is your listening audience? And I thought about it, and I wondered, I wonder how many people are listening to this show.
Well, I'd say 10.
Sometimes it seems like there's a lot of people, and then other times I wonder if anyone's listening at all.
Yeah, no.
But you know something? Whether there's a million people or just one person listening, my ultimate goal has always been to put out a quality program.
Yeah, and you failed, didn't you?
And I think the results speak for themselves.
You failed.
I'm Monty. Enjoy the show. Well, I've got a lot of great stuff planned for this episode, but before I get to that, I thought I'd tell you what I've been up to.
Nobody cares.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of stuff going on in my life.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, Lindsay and I have our wedding coming up in May. We're going to fly out to Vegas for a few days and get married there. And the other day, we had to go out and buy me a suit because I have not owned a suit since I was about 10 years old. I am a guy that likes to wear shorts, jeans, sweats, and t-shirts year-round. But this is important, so we bought me a suit jacket, and we even got me a pair of dress slacks. Yeah, see, I can't even hardly say it. Dress slacks. But I'm gonna do it, I'm wearing a suit, and we're looking forward to the big wedding day.
Well then shut up with your bitching!
We also went to the Kansas City Zoo a couple of weeks ago, and that of course is a place where they keep animals.
Really?
And even though they charge you $11.50 a person to get in, they don't promise that you will actually see any animals.
That sounds like a big scam!
Yeah, 3 hours and 5 miles of walking later, I finally figured out that it must have been nap time because the only animals we saw appeared to be lying there dead. And I guess all the other ones were just in a cave somewhere.
Oh, how exciting.
Now, on the way home from the zoo, I was listening to the radio and I heard that song Even Flow by Pearl Jam. And of course, everyone knows that song by now.
Oh, yeah?
You know, Even Flow.
What are you talking about?
Whoa, he press his head on the pedal, hear the concrete.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
And it reminded me of how much I loved that song for about a week, 23 years ago. And I've hated it ever since. And it made me ask myself, I wonder who I have to punch in the throat to make them quit playing that song.
Well, that's a dumb question.
Now, after a long day at the zoo, I like to just sit back and relax and watch a little television. And that brings to mind another question that I have to ask myself. And that question would be, what's on TV? Well, I'm glad I asked. But before I tell you what I am watching, I'm going to tell you what I'm not watching, and that's American Idol.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I know I used to do an American Idol update on this show, but after I saw Nicki Minaj was going to be one of the judges on a vocal competition, I said, enough. So I have not watched a minute of that this season. I couldn't tell you who was in the top 10. And I spared myself 3 or 4 months of torture as the people of Kentucky and Alabama voted to see who their favorite cute male country singer is.
Yeehaw!
I will also not be watching The Voice or any other TV show that is in search of the next great singer who nobody wanted to sign before they went on TV.
I'm appalled by this.
As for shows I have been watching, the other day I was home in the morning and I caught that game show, The Price is Right. And I hadn't seen that in a long time, but it's gone through some changes since I used to watch it religiously back in the 80s. It used to be hosted by this old guy named Bob Barker, but these days they've got this comedian named Drew Carey, and he's kind of, how should I describe him?
Creepy.
Yeah, well, he's all right, but the reason I used to watch this show so much was for the models. They were known as Barker's Beauties, and I even knew their names. There was Janice, Holly, and this hot blonde named Diane Parkinson.
Yeah.
They were on there for years, and they just stand there by the prizes. And every now and then, for no reason whatsoever, they'd come on in bikinis.
Woo!
And my eyes would pop out of my head, and all of a sudden my dad would come walking into the room and go, "Good grief, what are you watching?"
"That's disgusting!"
Yeah, back then my dad considered that porn, and I kinda did too.
Yeah.
Of course, they're long gone now, and I was not happy to see that one of the girls had been replaced by a guy. That's right, a male model. So there's really no reason for me to watch The Price is Right ever again.
Certainly not.
However, I am going to keep watching Survivor until the day I die, especially now that I can see it in high def. Of course, by next year, I'm sure they will have come out with a new kind of TV that makes HD unsatisfying. I mean, when I was in college, I remember sitting in my apartment watching Three's Company on a black and white TV with a 12-inch screen. And as long as Suzanne Summers wore the short shorts, I was a happy camper.
Hot.
But these days, I've got cable with about 2,000 channels. I've got HD and a DVR. And I watch it on a 48-inch flat screen. And the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, man, I wish we'd have gotten the 55-inch screen instead. This just seems so small.
How do you live every day?
But regardless of what kind of television you own, there is never a reason why you should be subjected to a network TV show called Splash.
Oh my gosh.
This can best be described as B-list celebrities jumping off of diving boards.
That sounds great!
Unless you've been pining to see Louis Anderson do a belly flop off the high dive, don't bother. Instead, how about you just watch some actual sports?
No!
If you were like me, you watched the entire NCAA basketball tournament, and you might have even filled out a bracket. Of course, like usual, I failed miserably, but it was fun and I had a good time, unlike the basketball coach for Rutgers University, who got fired for throwing basketballs at his players in practice.
No!
Yeah.
No!
That's what I said.
No!
I'm serious.
No!
Yes.
No!
Yeah, apparently to the U.S. media, this is one of the worst things you could ever do to somebody, is throw a ball at them. And I really wish somebody would have told my high school PE coach that, because that sadistic bastard made us play dodgeball about two or three times a week.
You go to jail for that now.
He used to call it bombardment. And in high school, I was a little scrawny kid. And I would always be the last one left, trembling in fear, as four or five football players took turns throwing volleyballs at my head.
That's funny.
If only somebody from ESPN could have been there with a cell phone camera, they could have ended my torture. So I understand how the Rutgers basketball players feel. No human should be subjected to anything so heinous as dodgeball.
I mean, it's horrible.
As for the Rutgers coach that got fired, well, he not only threw balls at them, he apparently called them highly inappropriate names like fags.
Ah!
Now, when I was growing up, that name just meant you were a wimp. But in this day and age, it means you're a homophobe. And as we all know, and we've all been told many times, there is nothing worse than a homophobe. However, it's fine to call somebody a bigot or a homophobe if you feel like you've got good reason. But obviously, there is never a situation in which you can use the word fag. So hopefully that horrible Rutgers coach will burn in hell for mistreating those helpless collegiate full scholarship athletes. And with any luck, someday those players will recover from this humiliation and they'll all just man up and stop being just a bunch of fags.
What?
I mean wimps.
Scumbag.
And finally, I watched a cool documentary about Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys called Beautiful Dreamer. And as you might expect, like most musical geniuses, his dad beat the crap out of him while he was growing up.
Awesome!
This all led to a life of depression and drug use, and these days it seems to have taken its toll. After all, it did take him over 30 years to finish the Smile album, but he will go down in history as one of the greatest artists of all time. And now that I think about it, maybe my dad should have beat the hell out of me.
Well, yeah.
But that's what's on TV, and that's what I've been up to. Well, here lately, I have been bombarded, kind of like I was in high school. Except instead of taking a volleyball to the side of my head, I have virtually been assaulted by a barrage of top 10 lists sent in by you, the listeners.
What are you waiting for?
In fact, I've gotten so many, I'm going to have to do two or three today.
I'm waiting!
So let's not waste any more time. Let's get right to it.
Just do it!
And the first list comes to us from a Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And David says, some other guy recently stole my idea for top 10 Galactic Cowboy songs. So this is my top 10 list of new wave and pop songs from the 80s. Yeah, and I know when you think of the 80s, you're thinking stupid hairstyles and horrible fashion and music. And if you're thinking that, you are exactly correct. I know myself, I went through a mullet stage, I wore parachute pants at one time,
yeah,
and I even tied a few bandanas around my legs.
That's so gay.
What can I say? I'm not proud of it, but it happened.
Shame on you.
Regardless, some of the music was actually okay. So let's see what David has to say about it. And his list starts out at number 10 with Split Ends and I Got You.
I like that song. Yay!
Yeah, I still love that song. And Neil Finn was in Split Ends. And he, of course, went on to form Crowded House.
Who?
Number 9 is another one that I love. It's from Planet P Project. It's called Why Me?
There must be a thousand.
Once again, that's Planet P Project, and it was actually done by a guy named Tony Carey, who used to play keyboards in Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow. And every time I hear this song, I think back to when I was in college, and I was dating this girl, and I have no idea why we were together, but when this song came on the radio, I go, check this guitar part out, and she looked at me and went, yeah, whatever. And at that moment, I realized how wrong we were for each other, and so we just broke up.
Wow, that is a great story, isn't it?
The last man to be here was never heard from again. He won't be back this late in 2010. Them
Getting back to David's list, number 8 is Wall of Voodoo with their song Mexican Wall Radio.
What the hell was that?
That guy's name was Stan Ridgway. He had a weird voice and quirky lyrics. And my favorite line in that song was, "Wish I was in Tijuana, eating barbecued iguana."
Hey, come on, stop!
Yeah, I guess my lyrics don't sound quite as stupid now, do they?
Yes, they do.
Oh, well, anyway, number 7 on David's list is Duran Duran with a song called New Religion. And I liked a few songs by Duran Duran. My favorite was probably Save a Prayer.
That sucked.
Number 6 on the list is Missing Persons with Words. And yes, great song. Terry Bozzio is one of the greatest drummers in the world. And his wife at the time, Dale Bozzio, was the singer. Not sure if they're still together, but hey, I doubt it.
Amazing info.
Moving on to number 5, it's Psychedelic Furs with Love My Way.
Shut up!
I remember when we first started The Awful Truth, we were going to do that song and I was going to sing it, but then we never did. We just did our own songs instead.
That is a stunning fact.
Number 4 on David's list is The Fix with The Sign of Fire. And yeah, I loved The Fix. I had a couple of their albums, loved Red Skies at Night and Stand or Fall. Number 3 is another cool band from the 80s. It's The Cars with Touch and Go. Number 2 is Devo with Whip It. And number 1 on David's list of top new wave and pop songs from the 80s, Gary Numan with Cars. Well, good job, Mr. David Whiteman. I liked your list a lot. And you mentioned The Cars earlier. Well, here's one of my favorites by them. It's Candy O. And check out the awesome guitar solo in it. The Cars were one of the most boring bands I've ever seen play live. They just stood there like statues. But Benjamin Orr was a great singer, God rest his soul. And Elliot Easton, what an amazing guitar player.
Are you done yet?
All right, let's do another top 10.
This will never end.
The next one comes from a guy who not only sends me garlic pretzels, he sends me top 10s. It's Paul Morgan in Virginia with his top 10 favorite live albums. And he starts it out at number 10 with Little Feat, Waiting for Columbus.
Yep, okay.
You know, I really never got into Little Feat. I just didn't ever get it, I guess.
You're a dummy.
Number 9 is a live album by Pink Floyd. It's The Delicate Sound of Thunder. And that is followed at number 8 with the first Van Halen album.
Oh!
Paul says, okay, I know it's not a traditional live album, but from what I've read, much of it was cut live in the studio. Well, okay, I'll let you get away with that one, Paul. And from what I've heard, a lot of live albums are actually cut in the studio also.
Yeah!
So whatever, moving on to number 7, it's one of my favorite live albums ever, Double Live Gonzo by Ted Nugent. Yeah, I bought that thing on vinyl back in the 70s and took that in my bedroom and just blasted it.
This is outrageous behavior.
Number 6 on Paul's list is Santana with Moonflower, and that is followed at number 5 with The Who live at Leeds.
Who?
Do you ever think back to a certain time in your life when you heard a particular album for the first time?
No.
Well, I do. Because even though I'd been a huge Who fan for a long time, the first time I ever heard it was in Europe when we were opening for Anthrax in the 90s. And I went to the back of the bus and slapped my headphones on with the Discman and proceeded to get my mind blown. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, John Entwistle is a god.
My generation, baby. Don't you all...
So if you're a bass player, definitely check out Live at Leeds. And even if you're not, The Who rules. And Paul suggests that you get the most recent 2-CD deluxe edition.
Who gives a crap?
Getting back to the list, at number 4 is the Allman Brothers with Live at the Fillmore East. And instead of a number 3, Paul says it's a tie for number 2 with Peter Frampton Comes Alive and Kiss Alive.
Yeah,
I loved both of those albums, and Frampton Comes Alive is way up there for me, too.
You are lame.
And finally, at number 1 on Paul's list of favorite live albums, ladies and gentlemen, we have a tie.
Oh, my word, that's amazing.
Yeah, this is crazy, but at number 1, Paul has Rush, All the World's a Stage, and at number 1... Thin Lizzy, Live and Dangerous.
It's just wonderful stuff.
Well, great job, Paul, and I could not agree more. Live and Dangerous is my favorite live album of all time, and I also love All the World's a Stage. I wore both of those albums out, and honestly, those are my favorite albums by those bands. I know Rush went on to release about 100 more albums, but to me that first live one was their most raw and most powerful.
And what the hell do you know, old man?
I'll get to more top 10s on the next show, but in the meantime, keep them coming. And thanks to Paul and Mr. David Whiteman. You guys are in the playoffs and eligible for an amazing prize package. So the other night, Lindsay and I went to this little club here in Kansas City to see her favorite band, OTEP. And if you've never heard of them, well, they sound a little bit like this. So you get the idea, it's really heavy, and Lindsay was really excited about this show. So we got there about 5:30 in the evening when the doors opened so we could get a good spot down front. Lindsay's not very tall, and the stage was only about a foot high, so we had to be down front in order to see anything. But like most of these shows, and I hate this, there were 5 opening bands. 3 of them were locals that I didn't care for at all. There was a couple of national acts that were actually pretty good. But we had to stand there over 4.5 hours waiting for the headliner to come on.
Well, boo-hoo.
But this is where it starts to get interesting.
Finally!
When we got there, we were told there was no moshing allowed. And I thought, awesome, because I hate that stuff. Called me old-fashioned, but a bunch of freaking morons running into each other on a dance floor is not my idea of a good time. And of course, these days, you've got these guys out there doing karate in the middle of it, and it just pisses me off. I'm there to watch some bands and enjoy the music. So when I heard there was no moshing, I thought, great, nobody running into me, being obnoxious. We can just enjoy the show, and Lindsay can see OTEP. Well, about 10 minutes before OTEP came on, these big security guards walk out and stand right in front of the stage. Now, this was a little irritating because no one had done anything all night, and suddenly they were blocking our view. But there was nothing we could do about it. They were there, they weren't moving, and so we were just like, all right, let's just go ahead and enjoy the show. Well, finally, OTEP comes on, and they start rocking, and I'm like, yeah, this is badass. The guitar player was only about 2 feet away from us, and he was blasting these heavy riffs, and I was digging it. I mean, I've never been a big OTEP fan, but I was getting my skull crushed, I was banging my head, and we were well on our way to having just a great evening.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, they'd only played a couple of songs, and everybody in the crowd was being really cool, when suddenly here comes this 14-year-old chick with dreadlocks down to her butt, and she barges all the way up in between people and stands right in front of us. Well, before I can even say anything, this little twit is whipping those dreads around, hitting me in the face, and I feel like I'm getting flogged with a cat of nine tails. I mean, the ends of those things felt like rocks. And of course, these big dumbass security guys are just standing there like, yeah, whatever.
Duh.
Well, we're completely getting thrashed by this little biatch. So I just kind of stuck my arm out and tried to block some of the shots with my elbow. Well, pretty soon while she's flailing around, she nails herself right in the back of the head with my elbow. And she looks at me all crazy-eyed, and I just go, please, you're hitting us in the face with your hair. Could you just stop that? Well, that's when I suddenly remembered, oh yeah, I live in America, and the kids here today think they are entitled and privileged and can do whatever they want.
They're evil!
Not only do they demand happiness and free health care, if they want to slap you in the face with their dreadlocks, you're supposed to stand there and take it. And she was like, how could you hit me in the head with your elbow? And I'm like, no, you threw your head into my elbow.
Did that make sense?
Well, I was hoping that was the end of it. But instead, she leans up and yells into my ear like I'm the nerdiest guy on the planet attending his first concert. And she says, dude, how many shows have you been to?
Ouch.
Well, instead of putting the little brat over my knee like I wanted to, I just shook my head and thought, I've been to about 1,000 shows, you little punk, and you're the biggest a-hole I've ever dealt with.
Yes!
Well, after that altercation, she immediately proceeded to fling her hair right back in our faces.
Go!
And I spent the rest of the evening trying to defend Lindsay and myself from having a serious eye injury.
It was really enjoyable.
Now, I have no idea why this always happens to me, but I am like a magnet for these kind of creeps. Every single show I go to, I end up standing by that guy, or in this case, that obnoxious little chick. In the future, it's not going to stop me from going all together, but I'm going to think twice before I go to another all-ages show. Well, all right, here's something I haven't done for a while. Here's some music news.
It's a total waste of time.
There's a couple of tours going on right now that interested me. I didn't think I was going to get to see Iron Maiden at all. But the other day, Gary in Baltimore informed me that they have added some dates, and one of them is going to be in Kansas City. I've got to wait all the way until September to see that, but I am hell-bent on being there. And as if Maiden wasn't enough, the opening act is going to be Megadeth.
It's going to be brutal.
So I will not be missing that, provided I get tickets. But if I don't, I can still listen to that new live CD that they put out. It's called Made in England 88. It's some remastered live stuff from the 80s. Let's check it out. So that's Iron Maiden, but also on tour is Saigon Kick, who recently did some reunion shows. Some people thought that would never happen, but they got the original singer back in there, did a few shows, and apparently it was pretty awesome. I've been a fan for quite a while, and I wish I could have been at those shows, but all I got was the YouTube clips, and you know how that is.
I think so. Explain that to me.
Anymore, you gotta wait through a commercial, or wait 10 seconds, and then skip the commercial before you see the video. And then if it's live, it's usually taken by somebody on their cell phone, and you can't even tell what's going on. And that's why I was kind of excited the other day when I ran onto a new website called Rock Hard Live.
Ooh, hot.
Oh, hot. Yeah, right. That's hot.
And no, it's not a porno site.
Oh.
No, just a music site.
Then I'm not interested.
And no, it's not Hard Rock Live. That's a restaurant hotel. But what it is a pretty cool website that has a lot of shows from a lot of different bands. Most of it's really heavy, and there's a lot of new metal on there. But there's entire sets, and it sounds pretty good, and it looks good. So if you're tired of YouTube and you want to seek out some new bands, check out rockhardlive.com.
Count me out.
In news of the moronic, teen idol slash D-bag Justin Bieber recently went over to Amsterdam, paid a visit to the house of Holocaust victim Anne Frank, and left her a disrespectful message about being a Bieber fan.
Is that so wrong?
I mean, I know he'd like to milk this ride he's on right now, but could we just go ahead and end his 15 minutes of fame right now?
Sure, why not?
It just goes to show you that money and power cannot buy you a brain. And if you don't believe me, just ask Jay-Z and Beyonce, who recently took a vacation trip to communist Cuba.
Ah!
Oh, God, as if there wasn't enough reason to hate them already. I end up having a fantasy about them getting stuck over there and never being able to come back. But ladies and gentlemen, some dreams just don't come true. And for the time being, we are the ones who are stuck with Beyonce and Justin Bieber.
Very pointed and provocative commentary.
And that is your music news. Anybody that knows me knows that I like to make it good for the people. And if you ask me questions, well, I have no choice except to answer them. And that's why I created a segment called...
Football
That's right, supplying the fine people of the internet with bits of genius and wisdom. And today, excuse me. All right. And today, our first question comes from our good friend, Jimmy G. And he says, I went and had my hearing checked and found out that I have the typical musician's hearing loss. It made me start wearing hearing protection when my band practices and plays gigs. So, hey, Monty, do you have any hearing loss from being a musician most of your life?
I mean, it's obvious. Come on.
Well, Jimmy, I've never had my hearing checked by a doctor, but I would say, oh, yeah. I can still hear stuff, but I've just noticed over the years everything has to be louder and louder. And it just seems normal to me, but let somebody else hear my headphone volume and they're like, oh my god!
It's sick!
And apparently I'm that way on stage too. Because back when Galactic Cowboys was touring with King's X, we were sitting on the bus one day discussing who had the loudest stage volume on the tour. And I'm thinking they're going to say Ty or maybe Doug or possibly Wally. And Ty Tabor looks straight at me and with that Mississippi accent goes, oh no, it's you. And I'm like, what, me? And he says, oh man, by far, you are the loudest thing on this whole tour.
I heard that.
And I'm like, seriously? And everybody on the whole bus went, oh yeah, yeah.
You're out of control, man.
So I started wearing earplugs and I really hated it. And every now and then I would pull one of them out and go, wow, I am loud.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of who I am. I love it loud. I gotta feel it. And I don't know. What am I gonna do?
Quit, stupid.
But I do actually recommend earplugs for anybody that's playing. It will save your hearing. It's probably saved mine a little bit. And it also helps me hear myself sing when I'm on stage.
I don't want to hear it.
The next question is also from Jimmy G, and he says, I've seen some of my musician friends get all liquored up before playing in front of an audience. Have you ever gone on stage in an altered state? Well, if you've ever seen me play, it would appear that I'm that way. But the truth is, no, I have not, because I've never really drank or done drugs. Besides, I have a hard enough time singing and playing without being messed up.
Right.
So no, I don't know what that's like, and I don't know how guys do that. Because speaking for myself, I need all the brain cells possible just to make it through an average day. Much less try to go on stage and play some songs.
Totally.
Next, Jamie Woody had a question concerning the dreaded man sandal.
No!
He said, hey, Monty, if the toes are covered, do they still have to be considered mandals?
What a great question.
Well, I'm not sure, Jamie. Are you talking about Crocs or are you talking about socks with sandals?
Ah!
Because either way, that's just wrong.
Disgusting.
You see, a girl might be able to get away wearing a pair of Crocs, but no one can wear socks with sandals.
Very, very upsetting.
But I seriously think I'm just fighting a losing battle on this man sandal thing. They seem to be more popular than ever, and the other day I went into Dick's. Yeah, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods. It's just down the street from Cox.
Shame on you.
Yeah, Cox Medical Center.
Oh.
Yeah, and I went in there, and they just had a whole section full of mandals. And I just thought, what is the world coming to? And I just got the hell out of there.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I also got a question from Eric in Orange County. And he says, hey, Monty, have you heard about ex-Pantera bassist Rex Brown's new book? Well, yes, I have, Eric, but I have not read it because I rarely get time to read anything. But I have heard that it's really good, and he spills the dirt on all the problems they were having and a lot of the shenanigans that they were into back then. I did hang out with them a few times before they got really big, and Rex always seemed like a nice guy to me. Maybe he turned into a tool after they got huge, I don't know. But I'd like to check that out, and maybe I'll listen to it when it comes out on audiobook.
Ain't gonna happen.
Jimmy the Freak had a question for me about a Galactic Cowboy song. He says, "Hey, Monty, Disney's Spinnin' is one of my favorite GC tunes. That riff is awesome. I've always wondered whose voices are at the end of the tune and what the story is. Actual studio events recorded or staged BS?"
It's BS.
Well, thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, that song was on the Let It Go album. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that tune, here's a little bit. I wrote that song about 14 years ago, I think, and sadly, people are still being brainwashed by the media.
Idiots.
As for what the voices were at the end of the song, that was just Ben and Wally in the studio talking. Wally just had the tape rolling and picked up one of their conversations, and they were just trying to figure out what was wrong with the board. For anyone who's ever been in a studio, you know there's almost always technical problems. And apparently Ben was just trying to find out what the deal was with one of the channels, and somehow that little conversation ended up on the CD. It's not really any deeper than that, but to answer your question, yes, it was real.
How amazing that is.
And finally, Matt in St. Louis says, "Hey, Monty, do you have the new Senses Fail CD yet? Just wondering if it was any good." Well, yes, Matt, I do, and yes, it is. The name of the CD is Renacer, and if you like great melodies along with your hardcore, you more than likely will love this. I am the architect of my destiny. So that's the new Senses Fail, and I personally think the whole CD is killer. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions for Ask Monty. And that, my friends, is gonna do it for another episode of the Rockcast. I hope you enjoyed it and you'll go out and tell every single person you know about it.
No.
Don't forget to go to my website, MontyColvin.net, and check out my CDs, t-shirts, and paintings. These days, I'm trying to support myself with my artwork, so if you'd like to commission me to do a portrait or something cool, please drop me an email.
Nobody's gonna do that.
I'm gonna play you one last song from a band who opened for OTEP the other night. They're called Picture Me Broken. They're real melodic, and they remind me a little bit of Paramore.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, ask your kids. They'll know.
Okay, fine.
But that's going to do it for me for now. I will talk to you again soon, and the next time I do, I should be married.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm heading to Vegas, where I will put on my suit jacket and my slacks.
Why can't he say that word?
But until then, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
Watch you disappear, and I know you'll go until your skin and bones.
It's over!
I thought the thing was never going to end, to be perfectly honest.